Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast.
Go ahead and let your voice accompany that hand clap. The word says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Let's tarry here for just a moment. Come on, push a little further. We love you, Jesus. Lift your hands right now. Lift your voice. I want you to begin to feel a connection to what the Spirit is doing in this place. Jesus, we love you. We magnify you. Hallelujah. Somebody shout Jesus. Turn to your neighbor, give him a big smile, give him a high five. Tell him I'm glad to see you in church tonight. We did have just a little bit of maybe a scare earlier, for lack of better words. We were a little unsure about the weather, but I'm thankful we're here. Amen. There's no place I'd rather be than in the presence of the Almighty God. And I will make my introductory remarks very short. I do want to honor my pastor, the man of God in my life. Thank you for this opportunity. I value the spiritual authority that God has placed in my life. I'm so thankful for you and your family. You're so dear to me and my wife, and we love you very much. Amen. I cannot forget Brother Matt and Sister April. Thank you guys so much for everything, mostly, that you've invested into my wife. And I'm beginning to become a reality and a part of that. But I can't tell you how many times that we've been in the car and tears begin to stream down her face about what God had did in her life through you. And I'm very thankful. So I pray the Lord blesses you richly and abundantly. Brother Jake, I love and appreciate you and your wife. Thank you for your prayers. They are a very powerful couple in the kingdom of God, and I'm very thankful for them. And the list could go on. I don't want you to think rude of me, but I appreciate each of you. I love this church. I need this church. Brother Ethan, I need you. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. And the opportunity to stand before you and to minister the word of the Lord. I give honor to my sweet wife and my daughter and son who is on the way. I'm so thankful. I am such a blessed man. I am blessed. Without further delay, I will turn your attention, beginning in the book of Luke, chapter 8, starting in verse 43. They should have it on the screen for you. Let's give Sister Livia a hand. I'm thankful for our media team. They do such an awesome job, and I cannot forget our musicians and singers. What a very powerful and skilled, talented, and anointed group of musicians and singers. Worship leaders, but it's more than that. They are ministers, and I'm thankful for them for leading us into the presence of God and establishing an atmosphere where we can worship Him and our lives can be forever changed. Luke chapter 8, beginning of verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind Him and touched the border of His garment. And immediately, shout it with me, and immediately, her issue of blood stanched, and what that word means is stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Now I will turn your attention to one more portion of Scripture. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Most of us are probably familiar with it. Read it with me. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. With the help of the Holy Ghost, I will minister to you the next few minutes on the subject, in need of an immediately. In need of an immediately. Lift your hands and your voice right now. Let's ask the Lord one more time to help us. Father, I am so thankful and so humbled, Father, to stand behind this pulpit, this sacred desk. Father, to preach this great gospel to this great group of people. Father, tonight I thank you in advance that lives are going to be changed. Father, I thank you that you hear me and you see every need. Father, I thank you that miracle signs and wonders are going to be evident in this service. Confirm your word with signs following. Father, minister to the hearts of your people. I release the angel of the Lord into this sanctuary. Father, release the intercessor right now. Father, I pray that you would pull the key to this service. God, that you would release supernatural things into this atmosphere. Pour out blessings that we cannot contain. And we promise to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Go ahead and praise him one more time. Hallelujah. He is worthy. He is worthy. Now, I'm conscious of the time, so I'm going to start my timer right now. You can be seated in Jesus' name. God bless you. If I were to ask you, what do you need, what would you say? More than just words from what I received in prayer, Jesus wants to heal you. It's your decision whether you will believe and receive it or not. Where there is hungry hearts, Jesus will show up for his people. Way back when, there was a gentleman by the name of Abraham Maslow. In college psychology class, I remember studying about Maslow and what he believed to be the most basic needs of society. In psychology, we refer to this structure as Maslow's hierarchy of needs. This motivational structure is organized as a pyramid. On the pyramid, we find the most basic needs at the bottom to form the base. Then, as we progress to the top, we find more complex needs. The diagram consists of a diversity of needs ranging from food, water, and shelter to resources, friendship, and respect. According to Maslow, once the most basic needs are established, one can progress to fulfilling the complex needs in their life. Unfortunately, I hate to break it to you this evening, but Alani's motorcycles nor ice cream is found at the top of the pyramid of the needs for mankind. Come on now, I figured I'd have got a little kickback. I got Pastor with me. Come on, somebody. Believe it or not, the need listed at the very top of the pyramid is the desire to become the most that one can be. Perhaps all of the needs I read in your hearing are essential. Certainly, as needs become more complex, their level of importance will vary from person to person. Yet the most important need in your life right now is not food, it's not water, it's not shelter, resources, friendship, or even respect. Yes, these things can be valued as necessary and essential, but I stand here to tell you today that the most crucial thing you need right now in your life is a move of God in your world. Who can testify that you need God to perform an immediately in your life right now? I say it's time. It's time for someone's healing. It's time for someone's blessing. It's time for someone's deliverance. It's time for someone's salvation. The moment Jesus steps into your situation, you don't have to keep begging, wondering, or worrying. You shall receive what you need. You don't even have to keep praying for the answer, because when Jesus steps into your situation, Jesus is the answer. I have to let someone know that Jesus has decided this evening to show up for you and you alone. A move of God is everything you didn't know you needed right now. So this message begs the question, so what is a miracle? Throughout Scripture, a miracle was a divine interruption of nature. It is God's power at work that challenges the status quo and reaches way beyond our level of human reasoning, comprehension, and understanding. A miracle was a sign, but a sign of what? The miracle is a witness to prove that Jesus is who He really says He is, as the Son of God. When Jesus performed miracles, it was to establish His authority and ministry, but most importantly, it was so that people would believe and make the choice to follow Him. He said in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He concluded in verse 21, "This day is this scripture fulfilled." The miracles He performed were a witness to who He was, is, and always will be. The witness is the power, because you cannot deny it. From the water turned into wine, to the lepers made clean, to the raging storm made to stand still, to the blind receiving their sight, to the deathly fever being broken, to the dead son raised back to life. It all testified to who Jesus is. Understand that the power that resided in Jesus then is evident in residing in the church of today. How can these miracles happen, you ask? I can explain it. J-E-S-U-S. Well, I just don't know if Jesus can still perform miracles today. That was in the Bible days. That's the same doubt that I've been sent on a mission this evening to preach out of you, to preach out of this building, to preach out of this city, to preach out of this county. It's time to rise up in faith, Central Church. As soon as you decide to let go of doubt and unbelief, God is going to miraculously fill you full of faith. Doubt has got to get out of this room. So today, I've come to lift Jesus up, because He said in John 12 and verse 32, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." I've been sent here this evening to preach to this wonderful congregation about immediate miracles, immediate healings, immediate deliverance, immediate salvation. I'm talking about the immediate wonder-working power of God. There is no doubt about it that Jesus still specializes in doing quick works. I have a divine mandate to lift Him up. So today I say, if Jesus was in the military, He would be the marksman, because the master never misses it. He would be the detonation specialist, because He can step into a room and blow everything up with His wonder-working power. He would be the medic, because there's no wound that He cannot put back together. He would be the surgeon, because there's no trauma He cannot heal. He would be the doctor, because He is the great physician. He would be the chaplain, because there is no problem that He cannot counsel. He would be the strategy for the battle plan, because His ways are higher than our ways. He would be the top-notch security force, because He guides, protects, and even sends His angels to encamp about those who fear Him. He would be the perfect scout, because there's no heart He cannot reach and no soul He cannot find. He would be the commanding officer, because He is captain of the Lord's army. He gives charge to every sickness and commands, "Be healed." He gives charge to every devil and commands, "Get out of here." He gives charge to every sin and commands, "Be forgiven."
May I continue this evening. If Jesus was an outdoorsman, he would be the perfect hunter because he knows how to track you down and find you right where you are. He would be the perfect fisherman because his love will reel you in every time. If Jesus was a mechanic, he would tell you to stomp on the brakes where sin and temptation lie in the road and put the pedal to the metal when you're full of faith. If Jesus was a carpenter, he would tell you how to frame up your house of prayer and be sure to build your foundation on the rock. If Jesus was an electrician, he would send a surge of his spirit charged with a heavenly voltage into the atmosphere. If Jesus was a tour guide, he would tell you the directions to heaven or turn right and go straight. Don't forget to rest in the Holy Ghost. Stay on the straight and narrow and follow the GPS, God's positioning system. Can somebody give it up for Jesus? I must tell you this evening that Jesus is better than an author because his word is the only book where the author is present with the reader. Jesus is better than an author because he's the author and the finisher. Don't worry about the story that he's writing in your life because he is the finisher. He's going to complete the good work that he started in you because Jesus, you see, never starts something that he doesn't intend to finish. Jesus always begins with the ending in mind. Friends, I'm telling you here today that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that my Jesus cannot do. He's the immediate answer to your immediate problem. There's none like him. There's none beside him. There's none that compares to him. He still holds all power and all authority. I said Jesus is not just holding the government, but Jesus is the government. One of these days, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord and he is Savior. Acts 4 and 12 still says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm preaching to you today, Central Church, that you still got to repent of your sins. I said you still got to be baptized in Jesus' name, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We know that Jesus was the answer that came walking for the blind, lame, dead, and barren. It was more, you see, than a God moment. It was a divine intersection of time between problem and solution, question and answer, need and provision. In particular, I focus today on the woman who was immediately healed by Jesus. When I look at Luke chapter 8, I see a lot of us. Tired. Probably heard before that Jesus is a healer. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. You probably have heard before. It might sound old to you. But what if this time's different? I'm sure she was tired, frustrated, at her wits' end. It was going on 12 years now. She was broke from paying doctor bills. I mean, to make matters even more urgent, there was no physician or doctor that could heal her. After trying infinite times, she decides to come back just one more time and try it again. But this time, it's not just any doctor. This time, it's not just any physician. This time, it is Jesus, the great one and only physician. It's her only hope, her last resort. She sees Jesus walking through the crowd, boldly pushes her way to him, and grabs a hold. Somebody do like this. She grabbed a hold of his garment. And verse 44 says, and immediately her issue of blood stopped. What's amazing to me is that the desperation of her need unlocked the determination to obtain her miracle. Jesus didn't even have to speak the word to her. It was by her faith that she was healed. Faith said, I believe Jesus can heal me. Desperation said, I've got to get to Jesus. Determination said, I'm not turning back now. I shall touch the hem of his garment. This woman was in need of it immediately. Luke was a physician in the chapter that we read out of, the book of Luke. Could it be that he's the only gospel account that recorded that this woman was immediately healed? Because Luke, after all, was a physician, a doctor, and he knew the process of what it was like trying to heal people and get them to a doctor. And what he's really trying to tell us, Central Church, is that Jesus is the only one who can give you an immediately. Do you want to know what immediately means in the Greek? Immediately. If I was to try to pronounce the Greek word for immediately, I would almost have to speak in tongues to do so. Suddenly, instantaneously, immediately. And I found it interesting that Mark gives his account of this story in Mark chapter 5 and verse 30. It says, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Jesus, you see, is moved with compassion by the sincerity and desperation of our prayers. An immediate need calls for an immediate touch of the Master of Miracles. I believe tonight, Central Church, that there's three areas that we need to focus on. The first that we see in this story is Luke chapter 8, the woman with an issue of blood. Number one is faith. Faith is a substance. It's the foundation. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. So I ask you tonight, do you believe? Before we even pulled into the parking lot, I still felt a continuation of the anointing that was evident in this place Sunday. It's here this evening. And I'm telling you, when that's here, anything is possible. So the second thing, along with faith, that we need to focus on is our desperation. Are you willing to push through any obstacle to get to Jesus? How bad do you want to be healed? How bad do you want to be delivered? How bad do you want to be saved? Because we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we've got faith. We see the woman. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She believed. And she pushed through the crowd. And what's so amazing to me is that there was a multitude of people here, and they were thronging after Jesus. And her desperation says, I've got to get to him. Does anybody feel that way here tonight? You're at your wit's end. You don't have any other choices in your life. You've come to your wit's end. You've prayed all the prayers. You know how to pray. You've read your Bible, and it seems like nothing's working in your life. You've got to come back just one more time. Now I progress to the third area that we need to focus on, and that is determination. Understand that determination is the mature form of desperation. Again, determination is the mature form of desperation. Because you see, we could come to church with a need, and we're fed up, we're tired, we've had a rough day at work, and it seems like nothing's going right. We're in the storms of life. We've got to make up in our mind, I'm desperate, I need God, but I've got to be determined. Who is willing to push through every obstacle in your life right now? Who is willing to step out in faith and let God give you the immediately that your soul is beckoning him for? Let's stand right now. I've learned that God rewards faithfulness. And I've learned to be consistent in my approach to Him. I've made up my mind. Just a few years ago, I was called to preach this gospel when I was 15. But you better believe there was a lot of flesh that had to die. And even still to this day, I believe it's a continual process. If I could get somebody to come to the keys, please. The old man has got to die. And I learned that if I'm consistent, I'm faithful, He's going to reward it. He's everything I need. What was the breaking point for me when it really changed? Kind of like how Pastor describes the youth camp. It was a turning point. It was a change in his life. I was praying at the house, and I was laying on the floor, and I finally told him, I said, Jesus, I'm tired of running. I want to become everything you want me to be. I believe it was in that moment that God allowed me to 110% sell out to Him. It's not that God was not ready, because He was waiting. He was waiting for Keaton. You see, there were times that Jesus, in a sense, pushed Himself on people when He would heal them. But most of the time, Jesus is not going to run you to the ends of the earth to try to get you to make a decision. You got to realize for yourself that this is the gospel that will change my life. Something we miss a lot of times. We understand who He is, but we don't yet have the revelation of Him in us. And you see, Central Church, He's called us to be the sons and daughters of God. Scripture talks about sons of God. I believe I can relate it to the ladies in this house. We read about in the Old Testament powerful women of God who prophesied and led the children of Israel into freedom. This evening, I'm so astounded and amazed by His Word, because we read about these things. But when are you going to get tired of just reading about it? Central Church, when are you going to make up your mind that I'm ready to become it? I'm tired of just dreaming about it and talking about it, but I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to lay my hand on the sick and they're healed. I'm ready to lay my hand on the sinner's head and God fill him with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. God's calling you to step out in faith. God's wanting to remove every ounce of doubt from your life so that you can walk by faith and not by sight. You've got to just keep coming back. Faith in itself is not enough. Desperation in itself is not enough. Because it was that woman's determination that got her to Jesus. Can you imagine the screams, the dirt, the dust, possibly getting trampled on, hit, elbowed? Think of Black Friday. Who's ever went Black Friday shopping before they moved everything to online? Come on, somebody. She said, if I can just but touch Him, not even just touch Him, but if I can just touch the lowermost part of His garment, see, you've got this idea in your mind, this big extreme idea that I've just got to give God a perfect praise or else I'm not going to receive His grace. What do you think Calvary was all about? He said, it is finished. We're not living under condemnation anymore. We're living under grace. Does it give us an excuse to sin? I firmly believe, as I'm standing here before you, God has more for this church. It's time to stop just talking about it, but we've got to activate it and start being about it. We've got to disciple each other. Where are the prayer meetings, the Bible studies, encouraging one another? I've come to tell somebody this evening that the answer that you need, your immediate answer, is Jesus. Why don't you gather around the altar here? Let's just talk to him. You don't need just a miracle. You need the revelation that you are the miracle. I want to say it again. You need the revelation that you are the miracle. Right now, as we pray, lift your hands. You don't have to lift them high. The Lord sees your heart. I want you to begin to repent. Any thought, any action, any word. Anytime you felt the nudging of His Spirit, I just want you to repent right now. I'm going to tell you where we're going. What we're doing right now is building a foundation. Because we're fixing to release faith into this house. Central Church, if you will step out in faith, there is no telling what Jesus will do in this sanctuary. Come on, let Him hear you right now. Jesus, I repent of everything. I'm telling you, Central Church, you need a miracle in your life. You need a move of God in your world. Jesus, let Your Spirit walk through every chamber of my heart, every doorway of my mind. Jesus, we repent. We rid ourselves of any wicked, unclean thing. Father, I'm asking that You would remove every ounce of doubt and unbelief.